Thank you. Please be seated. Court is ready to hear argument in 061071, State Farm Lloyd versus Becky Ann Johnson.
We'll present the arguments for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. The issue that we believe the court faces today is whether one party to a Texas homeowner's policy may use appraisal to stop the other party as to questions of coverage. The interpretation of the appraisal clause
we would submit. Why is this a coverage question? There's no question to cover hail damage.
Hail damage is covered, but the question is whether or not the other portions of the roof were actually whether or not they were damaged by hail.
Why is that a coverage question?
Well, it has to be differentiated from other causes. The position that State Farm took in its letter at page 94 in the record, 95.
But I mean coverage questions. I'm an expert on coverage questions. I'm a judge. You're an expert on coverage questions. You're a lawyer. But whether a roof was harmed by hail or cold, neither you nor I are experts on. Isn't that precisely what we get appraisers for?
No, Your Honor. I think it is a coverage question. Let me just explain briefly.
Why isn't it a scope of the damage question?
Well, it's not a scope of damage question because it turns upon whether or not a covered cause of loss occurred or whether it was some other type of cause of loss. If you look at how this type of case is submitted in an ordinary coverage case that actually is tried by court, the issues of coverage involve, was there an accidental direct physical loss to property? And that's a question in this case as to whether or not other portions of the roof other than the ridge line were actually damaged or not. That'd be the first question to the jury. The second question that would go to the jury is whether or not there was a covered cause that was actually involved. In this case, we've got hail as a potential covered cause for part of it, but the question is whether or not the other portion is a covered cause and would fall within potentially an excluded cause, such as the wear and tear exclusion from the covered perils. Then the jury, on instruction by a judge, learned in the law and knowledgeable about coverage, would actually address a comparative or concurrent causation question in which the jury would be asked to determine what portion, based on the burden of proof placed on the insured, what portion of that loss was caused solely by a covered cause of loss? Those are things, while an appraiser certainly has expertise to identify what is or is not hail damage, if you place the question before them to determine scope and to differentiate between them these causes, then what you're really doing is asking them to decide coverage issues that are ultimate issues of liability that would traditionally be decided by the finder of fact on proper instruction by the court.
So you would limit appraisals, and these are widespread in the insurance industry, appraisal clauses.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But your understanding is then, your argument is that appraisal remedies is limited to, we take the appraisers out and only in cases where the homeowner and the insurer agree that this dent and this dent and this dent are by hail and pay no attention to the rest of those, how much is it going to cost to fix those three dents? That's all appraisals are for.
I think appraisal can be more depending on the circumstances, Your Honor. For example, one of the things the Court of Appeals
sees... That's a waste of time to have an appraisal process for that.
Well, what appraisal is intended to do, as this Court said in the Clancy case and in N. Ray Allstate, is it is to determine a valuation. And it is to create an estoppel based upon that economic or monetary determination. Here, what you're asking the appraisers to do, without any process, I mean, when you look at whether or not this clause was intended to submit issues such as concurrent cause,
all appraisal for is for monetary valuation of agreed covered losses.
What the court has stated is it is to determine the issue of damages and a stop on the issue of damages. And we would submit that where you ask an appraiser.
Of course, damages usually includes what was caused by or not. I mean, your position is it's only how much is it going to cost to fix this, this, and this.
What is the value?
Right.
Yes. And that
I don't understand why that matters. I mean, when my house has been damaged, what the insurance company, you know, I call a guy up and he says it's going to cost X, and the insurance company says, oh, we can get it done for half X. And the bottom line is if the insurance company can get it done for half X because they've got a guy who's their in-house guy that does it, then it's as long as it's done, who cares? Why would you ever want to fight about that?
Well, the classic example of when an appraisal is used is when you have an individual item, such as a piece of jewelry, that is burned up in a fire and there's a disagreement about what the value is. When it becomes problematic, Your Honor, is when you step into an area where the scope obviously has something to do with the value.
Well, it sounds to me like it becomes problematic in every case where there is more than one potential cause of the damage.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Which makes it almost... Well, it makes it the usefulness very limited. Someone might argue it makes it the appraisal remedy nearly useless, especially when you're dealing with wind damage to roofs or damage caused by the elements to buildings. It makes appraisal almost useless if it's that limited, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly gives it a limited purpose, and we believe that's entirely consistent with the word appraisal, which is what's used in the contract.
To kind of piggyback on the other questions, when there's damage to a roof and there's hail and there's wind and perhaps the wind tore off part of the roof and it rained in there, was that related to the hail or was it the wind or was it the rain? When less than all three of those are covered and you have an appraisal provision that sends appraiser out there to say fix the amount of the covered loss. In order to do that, if that's what you really want the appraiser to do, he or she's going to have to determine what was caused by the covered hail. But you're saying the appraiser can't do that.
The appraiser can't differentiate between causes and make that decision, because if they do that, then what they're doing is they are making the concurrent cause coverage determination. They are making the determination as to whether or not the key ingredient of the insuring agreement, that there be an accidental direct physical loss, they are deciding those issues. And if I can just emphasize one point from Clancy, and that is appraisal is not meant to be broad. It is intended to be narrow. It has been intended to be narrow since at least 1888 in this jurisdiction. The reason is...
I understand that. Let me ask you then, in what circumstances is appraisal useful? You mentioned in an element case where there's natural elements causing damages to buildings. Justice Brister pointed out where the parties agree. This was caused by hail. Fix the cost. Other than the situation where the parties agree... In other words, there's no litigation. In litigation, when is appraisal useful then? In a circumstance where there's elements causing damages to buildings?
Well, of course, appraisal is intended to be something that occurs depending on the circumstances before litigation. It's not something that's done in the context of litigation.
Let's call it disputes then.
Disputes. Another area where it would be practical, and one that we saw it, that it was very helpful in, was in a lot of the mold cases, where the question was not whether or not there was mold in the house, but what the appropriate and reasonable necessary expenses would be to go in and to remediate the mold. How many air scrubbers should you have? What is a reasonable price for the air scrubbers? Whether or not containment barriers would be required? Whether or not the situation was such that you would require uniforms, which are very expensive? And, of course, we had a lot of variance in terms of what contractors were charging as the crisis generated and got worse.
That sounds like a situation where the parties agreed that mold caused this damage, though.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I'm asking about where there is concurrent or potentially concurrent, more than one cause of the damage. When is appraisal useful?
Well, again, to the extent that the appraisers have to determine a scope question that requires them to resolve between different causes, resolving whether something is a covered cause or not, and then stopping a party, and it's not always going to be State Farm, because what this court does is the shoe is going to be on the other foot, and already is based upon the decision of the Court of Appeals. insureds, thousands and hundreds of thousands of insureds, are going to be hauled in to court, or hauled into appraisals, forced to go through the expense out of the lay homeowner's pocket of paying for the appraisal, also forced to pay for a portion of the umpire, and the net result is that they have given up their right to have a court and a jury decide the question, a right which this court in Clancy and in Ray Allstate said the ultimate question of liability, which coverage is, has to be decided by a court.
You said appraisal is limited. Is appraisal, from your point of view, only useful when there's no dispute about the cause of the damages?
I think that's one area where we can agree. I've also seen
to give you another opportunity. Give me another situation where it applies. Mold, I don't think, works because, as you acknowledge, the parties agree that mold caused the damage. So there's no potential concurrent causes, no potential situation where there's more than one cause. Give me another situation where appraisal works when there are potentially more than one cause for the damage.
Well, again, Your Honor, what I would submit is that if there is a causal question of whether or not there is a covered cause or not, that simply cannot be determined by appraisal because that is the ultimate issue of liability.
Let's assume just for purposes of argument this morning that we disagree with you and we say that the plaintiffs under these circumstances have a right to an appraisal. Does that completely end the inquiry, or would your client have an avenue for redress with the trial court or an appellate court to say that to preserve your coverage contention? In other words, the appraiser comes back with a figure of $6,400, which I guess is what the potential value of replacing the roof is, and you say, no, Your Honor, as a matter of law, only $500 was damaged in the hailstorm, and we therefore seek, you know, a reduction in the amount or reversal or rendition. Is that a possibility or not?
Well, we certainly believe that if this, even if this court were to allow what I would call what's essentially an advisory appraisal to be done pending these other issues, the court would have to make very clear that appraisal does not stop on issues of coverage and causation.
But you think it does, though, don't you? I mean, it does say shall set the amount of the loss.
Your Honor, I believe that is exactly what is being attempted by the respondents in this case. They want to stop State Farm from being able to contest coverage. And State Farm says this court has told it, as well as the millions of homeowners in this state, that you have a right, we have a constitutional right to access to the courts, a right to trial by jury, and we're not going
unless
to
interpret. Unless you waive it in the contract.
Unless you waive it in the contract.
And which people do every day in arbitration.
Right, but this is a contract that is prescribed by a state agency, which I might add, the TDI recently in the homeowners, their instructions to consumers regarding the homeowners policy, which is cited in the amicus brief at page 4, they state that appraisal governs only disputes over the amount to be paid. It is not for settling disputes about coverage or causes of loss. And so we believe their interpretation, at least as reflected there, is certainly consistent with the interpretation we're suggesting. Because in a court of law, let's think about what appraisal, and I think there's one commentator, Jay Levin, in Demystifying the Appraisal in 2007 in an Insurance Risk Management Institute, wrote that the process of appraisal, when you think about what is being given up and we interpret whether or not policyholders and carriers are giving up the right to access to the courts by using an appraisal clause, you have to look at what it's being replaced with. What is appraisal like? It is an extremely informal process with very few rules. In fact, in the words of Mr. Levin, it is something akin to the old political process of selecting candidates for political office, where all of the negotiations are occurring outside and free of scrutiny and interference.
But you're going to an appraiser, I presume, for their expertise in determining cost of repair.
That would certainly be the intent of certainly State Farm in selecting who they would want to be the appraiser. We're not selecting them for coverage expertise.
That's my point. I mean, you're asking them what is it going to take to fix X.
That's correct.
And in order to make that determination in this case, they're going to have to go beyond that to determine what caused X. In other words, how are they going to know what cost to put on it unless they know how much of the roof is fixed?
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think there may be some circumstances where the parties, through some type of memoranda of appraisal, could actually set forth and stipulate how it's to be decided and to actually work around some of these problems, holding off the coverage issue to be decided later. This case, though, because of concurrent causation and the fact that you would have percentage of cause potentially found by the jury in that determination, this one doesn't lend itself to being a situation where appraisers could give you an advisory opinion in what we would submit again as this sort of theoretical appraisal that occurs before coverage is resolved. And then when you try the coverage case, you actually find out that the result reached by the jury is contrary, that they came up with a different causation number than the damages were based on. Then you have wasted the appraisal. The insured has wasted their money, as has the carrier. And again, when we think about whatever happens with appraisal, that is an exponential impact and increase. Particularly, all you have to have is one hailstorm, one Rita, one Katrina, and then you've got a massive problem. But the parties sought trial by jury. They sought trial on the ultimate issue from a court, not trial by roofing contractor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huddleston. The court is now ready to hear argument from the respondent.
The court, Mr. Bowman will present argument for the respondent.
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Russell Bowman. I'm here on behalf of the respondent, Becky Johnson. Before I get into my argument, a couple issues I noticed came up there that I'd like to address. And one, the question was raised about how could appraisal help when a lawsuit is filed. A perfect example is that Vanguard versus Smith case that I had cited in my brief. That was a case where when the lawsuit was filed, the insurance company moved to abate the lawsuit to have the insured comply with appraisal. And it was a dispute just like this case. It was a dispute over the amount of hail damage to a roof. It was one that Justice Johnson and I should be pretty familiar with since we worked it from opposite ends of the bench. But it was just like this situation, and that case, once the appraisal was done, it eliminated the lawsuit. And another example...
It eliminated the lawsuit.
Yes, Ron. And another example, Justice Wainwright, you brought up where appraisal could be helpful in a case where there's concurrent causation. One that I've had a lot of experience in is we used to get a lot of foundation cases. And the issue there was always... Was the foundation movement caused by settlement, or was it caused by a plumbing leak?
Like wells.
Exactly. And you'd also have a dispute in those type of cases over whether the foundation would need to be piered or whether you would just need to patch the cracked sheetrock walls. So in those, you'd have a dispute over the amount of loss. And I had countless cases where appraisal was used to resolve that amount of loss dispute. And I've had them where... The appraisal award came back that the foundation didn't need to be peered. Whatever the appraisal award was paid, it resolved it. Then I also had some where the appraisal award found that the foundation did need to be peered, and it didn't determine any coverage at that point. We just litigated the issue of how much the damage was due to settlement versus how much was due to
Mr.
a plumbing.
Bowman, let's assume that the case goes to an appraiser. But also assume that the facts are conclusive that the hail damaged only the rim to the tune of $500. But the appraisal, the appraiser assessed damages at $6,400. Would State Farm have any ability to contest the appraiser's finding, or would you say that they are stopped by their contract from challenging that finding?
I'd say they wouldn't be stopped from they'd be a stop from contesting the amount of the loss, but as far as...
Under my hypothetical, it's conclusively established that the only damage that is covered was $500 worth to the rim of the roof, and you're saying that they would be a stop from contesting the total replacement of the roof.
Just as far as the amount, but as far as whether they owe that under the contract, i.e. whether that additional damage was due to hail or some excluded peril, under that scenario, they wouldn't be a stop from doing that because, one, an insurer can't be a stopped from a coverage defense by its actions or inactions.
So you would say there'd be, then after the appraisal, there would be a jury trial on coverage?
Yes, assuming State Farm didn't want to pay it and the insured wasn't happy with their denial, then she'd have her option to file suit. And if we had to go to a trial, you'd, just like with some of the concurrent causation issues I've had in trial, you'd have the first question, what do you find, or state the percentage of each cause you find caused the damage, wind or hail, wear and tear, deterioration. And the jury would assign their percentage to each one, and say under that scenario they assigned 50% to hail, then 50% of the appraisal award would be what the judgment would be for. So, no, Your Honor, I don't think they'd be a stop from asserting any coverage defense.
So what does shall set the amount of the loss mean?
Basically, I equate it to if we had a trial in an insurance case, we've got the liability and the damage issues. Liability deals with the coverage where the jury would be asked questions about, you know, which of these perils do you find played a part. And all the appraisal does is deal with the what in effect would be the damage question that would be submitted to a jury. What is the amount of damage you find?
So you agree with State Farm?
Actually, from what I heard him say, no, Your Honor.
Sounds like y'all agree.
If you're going to go to trial anyway over the coverage question, then what's the benefit of the appraisal process?
Well, I think, like in this case, Your Honor, if that appraisal award came back at $5,000, State Farm's going to spend a lot more than $5,000 defending a trial on a case like that by the time they're through with experts.
So this is an advisory mediation?
It may have that effect, but that's not the intent or the purpose.
You're telling me, you know, the problem is we got to do what the policy says, not what people normally do. That may be the normal practice in the insurance industry, but is that what this says? This says, says it shall set the amount.
The amount of loss.
I mean, we could draft this so it said, and if either party disagrees, they can appeal in de novo jury trial, but that's not what this says.
And I think the keywords there are the amount of loss, Your Honor. Typical example, if a car hits my house or a tree falls on my house, the amount of my loss is going to be determined by two things, scope of the damage and the price to fix that scope. In that example, it'd be how much square footage of brick and sheetrock and studs am I going to have to replace, how much is going to have to be painted, what's the price per square foot to do all that. In this case, the facts are undisputed that the dispute that exists here is over that extent, i.e. the scope of the hail damage.
Right. And if the appraisal process comes back and says $500 was the loss because only the ridge was damaged, you're not bound by that. You can still go to court and say the damage was more extensive, and yes, that's all the damage was to the ridge. I'm stuck with that. But there was $6,000 damage to the rest of the roof.
Yeah, actually, if it comes back and the appraisal award came back with $500, that's my lady and State Farm, they'd both be bound as that being the amount of loss. So at that point, under that scenario, it would end this dispute because there'd be nothing to move forward on.
I'm very confused because there's two pieces, the ridge and the rest, and the appraisal process comes back and says $6,500. You just now said, I thought, that the insurance company can go in there and say, in the jury, and say, no, the $6,000 was not the result of this hail. We only owe the $500, and that could happen.
Correct.
Okay, now, the other way around, the appraisal process finds $500. But you can't go back into court and say, no, the whole roof was damaged, and I get the $6,500. I only get the $500 for the ridge, but I get the $6,000 for the rest.
And the difference between the two is in one, the amount of loss was set at $6,500. The other, the amount of loss was set at $500. So the only remaining issue, if there was a coverage issue, would be how much of the amount of loss in that scenario was due to the covered peril. In each one, the amount of loss would be set by the appraisal award.
Even if, again, it was there was conclusive evidence that the hail damaged the entire house, the entire roof?
Under that scenario, Your Honor, if that's appraisal awards can be vacated for fraud, accident, mistake. So under that scenario, you know, possibly you'd have an issue there. If there was conclusive evidence the entire roof was damaged by hail and the appraisers or the appraiser and the umpire just refused to consider it, then you'd have a situation where the appraisal award probably could be vacated on that ground.
Let me help out the poor appraiser here. I'm the appraiser. What am I supposed to do? What's my direction? Tell me what it's going to cost to fix the whole roof. Tell me what it's going to cost to fix the ridge line. Tell me, what am I supposed to tell you? What do you want from me?
I think just common sense dictates that if you're dealing, say, with a water loss, and the appraiser's going out there to determine what is the amount of loss from that. If he goes out there and...
Well, but you know, you're going to tell me, give me a figure that it's going to cost to fix the roof. And the other side's going to tell me, give me a figure to fix what's caused by hail. And what am I to do? I mean, it seems to me that the appraisers, when you've got a vehicle, say, that's damaged, and there's no question that it's covered, but you've got two different costs to repair it, then I know what to do. But you've got a car that's damaged because a drunk driver is driving it through a hailstorm, and you're saying it's not covered to the extent the collision was caused by the driver being drunk, but the hail damage is covered. What are you asking me to do as the appraiser? I would think that would be hopeless and confusing.
No, I think under that scenario, Your Honor, that it just common sense dictates if, say, your loss there is hail damage to a car, I think the appraiser, in part of the phrase, the amount of loss necessary, implies some causation requirement to determine what the loss is due to the peril that's involved. Say with your car example, if you had hail damage to your car, but you and your insurer couldn't agree on the amount of the hail damage, the appraiser comes out, and you can see hail dents and dings on the car, but there's also, you could tell where you got rear-ended, and it just hadn't been fixed yet. Well, obviously, the hail didn't damage that part, so the appraiser, I think, could necessarily not include that in his appraisal in determining what was the amount of loss from the hail damage.
So then this scenario is more the extent of loss.
Yes, and I think that's what we're dealing with exactly here. It's just like in the Peters case that was decided by this court, where that involved a fire loss, and you had the initial issue of whether the extent of the damage was such as to constitute a total loss so as to be a liquidated demand and therefore just make the policy limit owed. Once the jury found there was no total loss, the insured and the insurance company still had a dispute over the extent of the fire damage. And as this court noted in its opinion, the lawsuit was to be abated so that the appraisal could be conducted, which is the same thing we've got here. There's no dispute that a covered event occurred to Ms. Johnson's property. Hail hit her roof and did damage to her roof. There's no other assertion or evidence in the record that there's any damage that's due to any excluded peril. And basically, if you take State Farm's position, what they're in effect doing is saying they get to determine, here's the amount of your damage. If you don't agree, your only remedy is to go file suit, which in cases like this, the cost of an expert is going to be more than what your cost to replace the roof, and it makes it especially more.
Aren't you paying the appraiser as well?
Each side pays their own appraiser, but that's going to be a lot cheaper than having an expert to do all the work an expert would have to do and be able to stand up to a Robinson challenge.
But either side can ask for the appraisal. Don't you think the insurance companies would be better at getting favorable appraisals than individual insureds in the hundreds of thousands of policies that there are?
I wouldn't think that. Plus, Your Honor, with what we have here, if you can't use appraisal for a situation like this, you know, basically State Farm's going to be able, and other insurers are going to be able to make a lot just go away because it either is not going to be worthwhile to fight their decision or they won't have the money to fight their decision. Either way, basically it will allow an insurer to, deny a claim without having to fight it or contest it later.
It looks to me like this is enforced arbitration, except appraisal is sort of a step below arbitration. And if you were saying that the insurance companies were going to be able to use this to force every case into arbitration, looks to me like there'd be some reaction to that.
Basically the effect of the appraisal clause is just to stop the party that demands it from contesting the amount of damages.
Right.
So if the insurance companies want to demand appraisal, and if the insurers weren't happy, they'd still, I think, be able to contest that. But I think at the very least, with the way the clause is worded, it's something either party can demand, and it certainly should apply to to the facts of this case, since the only dispute is one over the extent of the damage to the property.
How do you characterize the two letters that State Farm sent your client?
The first one, I'd say, conveys their decision on the claim, which says we went out, we found $499.50 of hail damage, and it's below your deductible. Here's the estimate. And then the next letter I kind of describe as just a posturing letter trying to convince poor Ms. Johnson to step into an arbitration of State Farm's own choosing, kind of like lamb being led to slaughter.
But you dispute that State Farm was disputing coverage for the non-ridgeline portion of the roof?
I would dispute that because I think their basis is this is all the damage that's out there to the roof. If there was other damage from some other peril, be it defective shingles, wear and tear, deterioration, something like that, it's not been asserted, nor is there any evidence of that.
So in your view, those letters don't dispute coverage for the rest of the roof outside the ridgeline?
I don't think they do, Your Honor. It's just saying here's the only damage that's out there. And now because that's what we have said, that's a coverage dispute, so you can't use appraisal, which following Justice Brister's questions, if you follow that logic, it's basically going to make the clause meaningless. And
suppose that you had a policy that we don't cover flood, but there's a dispute about whether the house was damaged by the wind, blown rain, or flooding. You send the appraisers out there, and they say $50,000. Then is that a coverage question that then comes back into court, or is that an extent of loss question?
I'd say extent of loss. I had one like that down in Houston, Your Honor, from Tropical Storm Allison. Had some damage due to flooding from that, but the insured also had the wind blew off sections of the roof, which got wind-driven rain in there, which was covered. And so we had a coverage dispute, but there was also a dispute in that case over what it was going to cost to fix the damage to the house, regardless of what caused it, but just what it was going to cost to fix the house. And in that case, since agreement couldn't be reached on that, that one went to appraisal. Appraisal award was rendered, something everybody could live with. It was paid, claim over with.
I know, but assume it's our case that the appraisal is not acceptable to one side because they think it was all a flood. What happens then?
I've had some like that. My opinion would be appraisal would, if the parties are not in agreement over what it's going to cost to fix the damage out there, regardless of what caused it, but if they're not in agreement with that, appraisal is to resolve that specific type of disagreement so that under that scenario, I think
counsel, it sounds to me like you just agreed with the counsel for State Farm.
No, I wouldn't say that at all, Your Honor, because under State Farm's argument, he's saying under that scenario.
All of my questions to him were, you're saying all appraisal is for is, you know, how much you're going to pay the roofer and repair guy to repair the roof. If there's disputed out that, and that seems a silly thing. Just, you know, whoever will do it for the cheapest, that's what you pay. Why isn't that what you just said?
Mine's different because, again, the example I was given was, again, a dispute over the extent of the damage that's out there. You know, it goes to how much sheetrock's got to be replaced. You know, if there's a difference over that, which is going to affect the extent of the loss and directly affect the amount of the loss.
How can you decide that without deciding whether it was harmed by flood or windblown rain?
Because I think under that scenario, the appraisal panel will simply determine to the best of their abilities what it's going to take to fix the damage out there. Then that leaves the issue remaining about, as to this damage found by the appraisal panel and put in the appraisal award, how much of that is due to the wind-driven rain, how much of that is due to the excluded peril of flood.
Now, that does sound like you're agreeing with.
How does the appraiser separate those two amounts?
They don't. They just render an award for the amount of the loss, replacement cost, and actual cash value, which is replacement cost less depreciation. And under that scenario, they're not doing like was done in the Wells case where the appraiser and one of the umpires assigns a specific dollar amount to a specific peril, which in that case they assigned it to an excluded peril, which is why the award was struck in that case. Under the example you've given, Your Honor, The appraisal panel is just coming up with an amount of loss figure without...
Loss means covered loss, doesn't it? I mean, it has to. Within the policy, when it says they shall determine the amount of the loss, doesn't it imply covered loss?
It should, and I think and that's why it should apply here, Your Honor. We clearly have a covered loss. State Farm is simply contending there's only $499 of damage, and the only way you can contest our finding on that is to go to court.
Let me try from another direction. I'm likewise trying to figure out where both of you are on this position. There's damage to a house caused by hail and by wind.
Let's assume wind's not covered. The appraisers go out there and say there's $100,000 in total damage. We're not deciding what caused what, total damage to the house. That number, our several questions based on that number, is that number binding on either side after the appraisal?
Actually, it should be binding on who was the party that demanded the appraisal. Okay.
Why do you say that when it says it sets the amount of the loss?
I say that because in the Wells case, Your Honor, the court noted that the effect of the appraisal is to stop the party that demanded it from contesting the amount of damages. And that's consistent with some cases in other jurisdictions that have decided that
issue.
We've
not said that. That was a court of appeals decision, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so let's...
Does it say that's all it does? You're saying that's obviously, if it sets the amount for both parties, it stops whoever asked for them. But does... Saying that, does that mean it? Why would it not have stopped the other party?
I think probably it should, since it says it is binding on the amount of loss. I was just going by what the Dallas Court of Appeals said in Wells, Your Honor.
Okay, so we've got this $100,000 figure again set by the appraisers. They didn't make any causation or coverage decisions. So we take that number, and then we go to the fact finder, and the fact finder then determines, from what I think you're saying, how much of that $100,000 was caused by hail, which is covered, and how much was caused by wind, which was not?
Correct.
That's how you see this working?
Correct.
Okay. How is that different from what he said?
I think it's a lot different, Your Honor, because what I heard State Farm's lawyer arguing is that all appraisal deals with is value, determining what it's going to cost to fix what is this agreed scope of damage. Whereas under Justice Wainwright's scenario, you've got a situation where the appraisers are determining the amount of damage that's out there, regardless of whether the scope's been agreed to by the parties or not.
Any further questions? Thank you, Ms. Bowen.
Mr. Huddleston, this $100,000 figure in my example, do you agree on how that causation and coverage are determined? The appraisers just set the total amount of the damages.
You take that number, go to the fact finder, let's say a jury. The jury says X percent caused by hail, covered, Y percent caused by wind, not covered. Do you agree with that?
Well, if there is no differentiation, then the appraisal will only solve the amount, and you still have to litigate the coverage later. But that's not what's being asked for in our case.
This is my hypothetical. So in my hypothetical, you agree with Mr. Bowen about how the appraisal remedy works out, where the appraisers just set the amount of damages, the fact finder determines causation and coverage.
Well, I don't in this sense, Your Honor. I think if you determine a bulk amount without differentiating cause, then you basically, it's like submitting a damage question to a jury with the wrong question or the wrong standard. Because
but you said that appraisers should not determine causation or coverage. So what difference should the appraisers do?
Well, what they have to first and foremost decide, and I think it's kind of gotten lost in some of the discussion, is there first and foremost has to be a showing that this was an accidental direct physical loss, that there was, in fact, the damage.
So that's one thing. In this case, you send them out and say, how much hail damage was there to the roof? That was what they were sent to decide, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
There's no dispute about that hail is covered.
Well, whether there was damage, we got notice of a potential loss.
So appraisers go out and decide how much, if any, hail damage there was to the roof.
Right.
And they come back with $6,500. Why isn't that the amount of the loss?
Well, it's not the amount of the loss because, again, if the condition of the roof, if they identify it solely as hail damage, you're having them differentiate between hail and other causes.
Where's your adjuster in all this scenario? Where's your State Farm adjuster?
Well, of course, the adjuster came out twice to look at this roof. And
he says it's $500, sent out an appraiser. They disagree, and that's why you have an appraiser. That's why the policy provides for an appraiser. In case the insurer doesn't agree with a lowball claim that the insurance carrier gives it, right?
Well, if there is a disagreement between the parties about the amount. And in this case, in terms of the amount, if it's totaled, and if the roof has to be completely replaced, State Farm doesn't disagree with the amount that has been presented as the cost of totally replacing the roof. And I don't think there's any dispute about what it would cost to deal with the partial portion. This is a question of causation, and it's a question of coverage.
My question is, if you send them out there and say, how much of the roof was, what's the damage, if any, to the roof by hail? And they come back and tell you the damage, if any, to the roof by hail is $6,500, then say, no, you weren't supposed to determine which was caused by hail or not.
Well, because that's the wrong question. The question that would go to the jury in the coverage case and the one that is controlling of ultimate liability is what percentage was hail, what percentage was some other cause.
Back to just Judge O'Neill's question. What question do you send them out, send to them in the first place? You're asking the appraisers.
Well, Your Honor, they don't. Frankly, the process
question,
is...
What question did you ask the appraisers in this case?
We didn't appoint appraisers in this case. There was no appraisal here because State Farm opposed it because from the outset...
The question to them is going to be...
Well, State Farm denied the claim. They denied the claim from the get-go. And so if appraisers had been appointed, then you'd ask them, you know, and that's the problem is what do you ask them in this setting? Because they have to determine scope. How can they determine scope without then determining what is or is not covered under the policy? And if the appraisal clause gave a mechanism for the type of precise questions to be posed, then we could perhaps consider that maybe it was intended to deal with this type of situation. It provides no such precision.
What do you make of Mr. Bowman's characterization of the two letters that you sent his client? He disputes that you were disputing whether the non-ridgeline portion was covered or not.
Well, I disagree with his interpretation because I think what the letter specifically
And they're both
says,
in the record, right, at 94 and 95?
Right, page 94 and 95. In the second paragraph of the letter, it says that the remaining portion that identifies the portion that it believes was damaged, the ridgeline, and it says the remaining portions of the roof have not been damaged by windstorm, hail, or by any other covered peril. I mean, obviously, the point was the only thing that's covered is this portion, and anything else is not covered. Are there any further questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Huddleston. The cause is submitted, and the court will take a brief recess.
All rise.